let me have you turn in your Bibles today to the book of, well, it'd be good if I remember, Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Also, hold your place in Ephesians chapter 6. And if you really want to get another verse today, I've got a lot of scripture in my message this morning. We're starting a new series today, and the new series is not called Spring Forward. The new series is actually going to be called 50. Everybody say 50. 50. I know that's a strange title for a series, but today is 50 days until Easter. We have exactly 50 days until Easter. And I had been doing some messages and some series on developing more emotional maturity, growing in our relationship with God through emotional maturity. And I had made mention that this is a year that the Lord is really going to call us to go deeper and to really begin to overcome in our life. In some areas that maybe we've had bondages in our mind and in our emotions. And so I want us to go deeper spiritually as well. But it is 50 days until Resurrection Sunday, and I want to call our church to pray for 50 days. This is a call to pray for 50 days. That's why I'm calling this series 50. And this series is going to go along with these 50 days. It's going to be a little bit longer series than I normally do. It's going to be about 7 weeks, starting with today's introduction. So it's going to be about 7 weeks, and it's going to go all throughout this. Our small groups are going to be dealing with this as well. We're going to be doing some understanding about prayer, some discussion about prayer. And then we're actually going to pray. We're not going to just talk about it. We're going to do it. We're going to put it into practice. But the truth is, I want you to pray every day. But I know that to begin a discipline in your life, if you don't already pray on a regular daily basis, it's a discipline that needs to be established, I believe, in every believer's life. I don't say that with any sense of doubt. I truly believe, I'm convinced that every believer should be praying daily. If you haven't started that discipline in your life, I want to encourage you through this 50-day challenge to begin that discipline. Whenever you're starting a new discipline, it is good to set goals. It's good to set a goal, but it's more important that you develop a habit, a healthy habit. Because you can say, well, I set a goal for 50 days, and you can actually do that for 50 days and then stop. What I'm really wanting to see happen in all of our lives is that this is something that we don't stop, that this becomes a habit in your life. But even more than setting a habit, goals are important, habits are important, but even more than that, it's becoming a new person. It's not just setting goals, it's not just setting habits, it's setting a new identity inside of you. Let me ask you to ask yourself, do you think of yourself as someone who prays regularly? Let me say it a different way. Do you think of yourself as a prayer warrior? If you don't, or if you say, well, I don't pray that often or that regularly, or I don't think of myself as a prayer, I want to encourage you to start telling yourself now. Yes, I am. I am a prayer. I am a person who prays. I'm a prayer warrior. Begin to establish that as an identity in your life, and then start a habit of doing it on a daily basis. And listen, don't get caught up in how often or how long. Just do it every day. I heard about this guy who wanted to lose weight. I was joking with Stephen back there at the sound booth a little while ago. I had to go back there and adjust my belt because I've lost weight and my pants were about to fall down. So, but this guy, he wanted to establish a goal. He said, my goal is to lose 50 pounds. He said he knew he had to establish then a habit of doing that, but he had to start thinking like, I'm a healthy person. I'm going to be a healthy person. That had to be an identity shift in his mind, that he was going to be a healthy person. And then he started developing the habit, and he literally only went to the gym for 5 minutes, but he went every day for 5 minutes. And then he started spreading that out to 10 minutes and then 15 minutes and then 20 and then, but he got in the habit then because he established an identity. He said, I'm going to be this person. I'm going to establish this habit, even if it's just for 5 minutes to start out with. And he reached his goal. He lost the weight that he wanted to lose, and he became a healthier person. I want you to become a healthier person spiritually. Why are we going to do this? Why are we going to spend 50 days of prayer? The reason is because I'm going to share the main reason in the meat of my message today. But the other reasons we're going to do this is because I really believe God wants you and me to go to a deeper level of prayer. He wants you to go to a deeper level in your relationship with Him. Another reason I believe is because we want to see God move within our church. Look around today. Now I know this is our attendance looks a little down today, and I have a feeling some of it has to do with the weather, and I understand that. But is there an empty chair somewhere near you? Okay. Have you noticed there's wide open space here? There's room to grow, okay? And the research that we've done in Arlington, just in this North Dallas, Arlington, this is something we've done several years back now. The research that we've done, we've determined that unless every church in this general area has about 300 or more, we're not really effectively reaching this area. What we're trying to say is that there are a lot of people out there who are not going to church anywhere, that don't know Jesus, and they need Jesus in their life. And so what we want to pray for is revival in our church as well. We want to see revival begin to happen here. We want to see more lost people coming to the faith in Jesus Christ. We want to see more water baptisms. We want to see lives being changed and touched for Jesus. Another thing, the reason that I feel like we're called to pray for 50 days and to establish this as a habit in our life is we've recognized that there's some areas in our own city, in this region, that we need to address both spiritually and individually in lives. I think it's funny that, I don't want to say it's funny, I like that Arlington's slogan is the City of Dreams. But unfortunately, what I see more often is a city of disappointment. I see people really who are kind of disappointed in life, and it's really anything but the City of Dreams here. And we want to see God begin to infiltrate people's lives, pour dreams and visions into their heart, and see them begin to step forth and accomplish that. But let me say this today, and I want to be bold when I say this, and I want you to hear the full conviction of my heart today. Our nation needs prayer warriors. I don't think you have to look very far to see that. I don't think I have to convince you very hard that our nation is, our city is a city of dreams, and yet there's a lot of disappointment. Our nation is the land of the free, and I see a whole lot of bondage. I see a whole lot of people in our land in bondage. When you're hearing stories of church leaders going to jail and going on trial for sex crimes and other crimes, when you see the disunity in our nation, when you see the polarity, I mean, there is no middle ground. It is so divided, and our nation truly is divided. When you see babies being killed, being murdered through abortion. And I'm strong on this. I'm not afraid to say it's evil. It's an evilness in our land that we have to pray through and address and see turned around and changed. And when we have babies literally being born and put to death, I'm not kidding, that is happening. Don't Don't bury your head in the sand. And a lot of the church is burying their head in the sand. At best, they're complaining on social media about it. But very few, I think, are really doing the work that needs to be done of prayer. Our nation needs revival. Our nation needs revival. Does anybody agree with me today? I want to say this, and please hear me and understand. I really know that the answer is prayer. There's a scripture, and many of you are familiar with this scripture. Many of you probably quote it, but it's 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." How many of you would agree that our land needs healing? It needs healing. And here's the deal. It starts with God's people. He said, "If my people." It doesn't start with people outside of the faith. It doesn't start with politicians or the government. It doesn't start with the wealthy or the poor standing up. It starts with God's people. Please hear me today. If my people, we want to see healing in our land. It says, if my people, and what are his people to do? Humble themselves. If I said to you, we're going to do 50 days of prayer, and something went off inside of you and says, yeah, right, well, I'm not. Maybe you need to humble yourself. And I'm getting very aggressive with this too. I'm getting very aggressive with it because I want to alleviate all excuses for you. I told you 5 minutes, start a habit. If you can't pray for 5 minutes, maybe you need to humble yourself. But here's the other thing. I'm getting so aggressive about this that I'm going to be up here at the church praying 3 times every day for 50 days. And this is in your bulletin. I'm going to be up here. I'm going to pray in the morning from 6:30 until 7:30. So if you're on the way to work, you can stop by for 5 or 10 minutes. You don't have to stay for the whole thing. If you've got to leave early to get to work, you can do that. But if that's your time to pray, then come join me in prayer. I'm going to be here for an hour from 6:30 to 7:30. I got to leave at 7:30 because I got to get my kids to school. But so I understand, all right? I'm going to be here again at noon to 1. You got 5 or 10 minutes. You can stop by the church and just pray and start a habit in your life. Come pray with me at noon to 1. I'm going to be here in the evening from 6 until 7. Now, on that first and third Wednesday, we're going to do 7 until 8:30. That's going to be our regular Connect group night, okay? But I'm going to be here every other night for 50 days, every night for 50 days, 6 and 7. So maybe you can't come in the morning. Maybe you don't have time at lunch, but maybe on your way home, you can stop by. Listen, if something goes off inside of you, you say, well, I'm not going to come any of those times. Maybe you need to humble yourself. Maybe God's trying to get your attention. You mean my pastor's going to be up there morning, noon, and night praying for 50 days and I can't play 5 minutes a day? Maybe you need to humble yourself, okay? Maybe you need to come before God with a humble heart and ask God to heal our land because our land needs healing. Your life probably needs some healing. Your family probably needs some healing. There's probably somebody in your family, in your extended family or whatever, that needs Jesus in their life. And there's a whole lot we can do after we pray, but there's not a whole lot we can ever expect to get done until we pray. And what is his people supposed to do if we want to see healing in our land? Humble themselves and pray. Now, it also says to seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. That reflects a disciplined heart, but I believe the discipline starts with prayer. And we need to establish this discipline, and we need to go to a deeper place in prayer. That's where God is calling us to do. That's what God is calling us to do. So I'm calling you to 50 days of prayer, to humble yourself and to seek His face and then pray. Now, on Saturday, I'm not going to be up here on Saturdays, so I'm just going to encourage you to pray. Find some time to pray with your family. We are going to be up here at the regular times on Sunday, and we have a regular prayer meeting at 9:15 before church starts if you want to join us. And we don't pray that long. It's not like a long time, but we believe that our prayers make a difference. And that's what I really want to tell you today. If this scripture holds any credence at all, if God's word is true, then even your prayer will make a difference. I don't have delusions of grandeur. I have a faith in a God that is greater than me. And so I believe that our prayers can make a difference. I want to talk to you today about the purpose of prayer. Last year was one of the worst years of my life. The devil was attacking me, attacking my marriage, my life and calling, attacking me more than ever I've ever experienced in my life. In addition to that, last month I started to feel him coming at me again, and it was like he had left for a little while and regrouped and come back and sort of had this attitude coming at me like, oh yeah, let's just see how free you are. And I felt last week was one of the hardest weeks, and I spent more time on my face before God, literally often right here at this altar, praying up here at the church, hours last week, and I wasn't getting any kind of breakthrough. And I, as I prayed and as I cried out to God, I really felt like Friday I finally got a breakthrough, and I realized what God was actually trying to say was He was calling us to this time of prayer and calling me to a deeper level of prayer. And because I had gone through this stuff, I had gone through grief, I realized I was giving the devil too much credit. I've been talking for the last several weeks and the last three series really about how we often have open doors through emotional immaturity to let the devil have a stronghold in our life. I agree with what I said. I'm not saying that I was wrong, but I thought maybe I'm giving the devil too much credit. Because if things are negative and bad in my life, and I'm saying it's the devil's attacking me, then when things are good in my life, does that mean that the devil is maybe leaving me alone for a little while? And if so, should I thank the devil? That's a terrible thought. If you follow that train of thought, oh, thank you, Satan, for not attacking me today. No, listen, here's what I realized in this time of just intense battle. I realized that I was giving the devil more credit. It wasn't that I was releasing more of Satan into my life. I was not releasing enough of God in my life. I was focusing more on the enemy who was attacking me than I was focusing on the one who delivers me and heals me. And I needed to see more of him released into my life. And so as I was praying and realizing this, I know that yes, we can open the doors to attack some strongholds of the enemy. But it's not that we are releasing more of Satan, it's that we need to release more of God. Quite simply, I was not praying enough. That's the bottom line. I just wasn't praying enough. And so Homefront Church is going to go to a new level of prayer. We're all going to go to a new level of prayer. And guess what? Jesus actually taught us how to pray. Jesus told us how to pray. I want to show you this, and you don't have to turn there. It's Luke chapter 11. It says, now it came to pass, this is verse 1, as he was praying, notice, Jesus was praying. Jesus, the Son of God, was praying. Now, if Jesus felt the need to pray. And the Bible says he prayed regularly. It was a custom. It was a habit in his life, a pattern in his life. If Jesus felt the need to pray, how much more do you think you need to pray? Jesus was praying. And it says, he was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, would you just read this out loud with me? Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. One of the disciples asked him, teach us to pray. And so he says, as John taught his disciples, verse 2, so he said, this is Jesus, when you pray, say. And then he goes into the Lord's Prayer, which is what we will begin studying more next week. And I have a heritage of understanding the Lord's Prayer. But Jesus said, when you pray, not if you pray. When you pray, not if you pray. Hear me today. He is the Lord and Savior. He is the Lord of your life. And your Lord expects you to pray. He didn't say if you pray. He said when you pray. He expects us to pray. And in Matthew 6, we see this again where Jesus teaches us to pray, but he says it differently. He says it like this. In Matthew 6, verse 9, it says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven. He goes into the Lord's Prayer again. In this manner, though, in this way, when you pray, say. In other words, this is a teaching on prayer. This is a pattern of prayer that Jesus gave us. And I really believe that God has opened my eyes to even new revelation. I've taught on this about 5 years ago, but I believe there's new revelation that God has given me, new insight on this. And so I'm going to teach on it again starting next week. But there's a pattern for prayer that Jesus gave us. And we're not just going to teach on it. We're going to put it into practice and we're going to do it. But Jesus gave us this pattern. And a lot of times we put it on our walls. We memorize it. But do we really do it? Do we really do it? And I want us to start doing it in our church. And the reason I want us to do this is the purpose of prayer. And it's number one reason. I mentioned a whole lot of reasons. Our land needs healing. We need to go deeper. Our city needs healing and needs revival. But the number one reason, number one, is because we're in a war. We are in a war. There is a spiritual war going on. We have an enemy, and he wants to kill you. John 10, verse 10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come, this is Jesus talking again, that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The enemy wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy your family. He's a vicious, evil enemy, and he is relentless, and he wants to kill you. We are in a war. Again, you may not like this kind of terminology, but the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter if you like it or not. You cannot bury your head in the sand. You present too good of a target for the enemy then. He does. He wants to destroy you. But like I said again, giving the devil more credit, yes, we are in a war and he wants to kill you, but listen to this today. God wants to give you an abundant life. If that abundant life, overflowing with joy and peace, blessing, that's the abundant life. How many of you say, I could use a little bit more of the abundant life? Come on. Come on. If we need less, it's not that the enemy has released more in our life, it's that we haven't released enough of God in our life. What we need to release through prayer is the abundant life into our lives. We are in a war though, and the enemy wants to kill us, and we have to take this very seriously. This is not a pep talk today. This is not a motivational speak. This is a call to action. We have to take this very, very seriously. If you are not living the abundant life, the enemy is beating you up, and it's time to pray. Now, I had you turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Go ahead and look in verse 12. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. These are actual military terms. thinking my buddy Richard here today has served in the military. Boy, I just appreciate you. I'm so glad you're in. I just feel safer when you're around, man. But these are these are military terms. Principalities, powers, rulers represent the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. If you could see into the spirit realm today, you would probably be absolutely amazed at the spiritual activity that is going on all around us. And so these military it represents ranking, territorial spirits. There are demonic spirits. The Bible talks about them. Jesus addressed them. I'll show you an example of this in just a minute. But these territorial spirits, principalities, we have the word prince is actually in it. There is a governing spirit over different regions across the nation around the world. There are principalities literally governing, influencing. These are demonic powers, evil spirits that govern certain geographical areas and regions. And then these powers are delegated spirits with authority of their own and with orders to go into different smaller regions and cities. And then there's this thing called rulers, and the word rulers literally means raw power, and it depicts the picture of recruited soldiers of raw power that need to be disciplined, they need to be trained, and then they need to be sent out on their missions, okay, to take the land. This is demonic warfare. But guess what? The body of Christ is also full of raw power. We have the raw power. We need to be disciplined. We need to be trained, and we need to take the ground back from the enemy. And guess what? We have more power than the enemy because we have our prince is the Prince of Peace, the Lord of all. And Satan is never a match for the devil. But this is actually in Scripture. And here's what I want you to look at this today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. When we put on the whole armor of God, when we put this armor on, we have then the faith to quench, the Bible says, all the fiery darts of the enemy. Okay? Now, what are the principalities right now over our church? I almost hesitated to tell you because you're going to say, well, I don't want to be here anymore. But can I just tell you that wherever you go, there you are. And if you go to another church somewhere else in another community, in another region, in another town or whatever, it's going to have its own principalities over that area. Okay? And so our elders got together and we talked about this. We prayed about it last month. What is one of the prevailing spirits or principalities over this region that we saw? And we were throwing words around like, well, we see a lot of apathy. We see a lot of what seems like complacency. Again, I was saying a lot of disappointment, people who are just kind of disappointed in life. We see some ungratefulness, some entitlement, but we just see kind of some of the words that we were throwing around was just a laziness. Now, please, please, please hear me today. Please. When I say these things, don't personalize it. I'm talking about demonic spirits. I'm not talking about you personally or anyone else personally. Okay? But one of the things that, as I started praying more about it, I really felt like God spoke that it's a spirit of slothfulness. And it was on my life. And Andy Teal said, it's getting off on him too. He said, can I just talk about you? You said it, so yeah. And then I asked the other elders, I asked Joe and Jim, I said, I don't see this on you guys as much. And they said, oh, it's there. I said, oh yeah, we battle it all the time. Remember? But slothfulness, you think of a sloth and you think, oh, isn't it cute? And it just moves so slow, you know? Slothfulness is not laziness. Because I look at people who sometimes, and I see something like this on them, but they're some of the hardest working people I know. It's not laziness. What it is a lack of vision, a lack of purpose, a lack of drive, a lack of passion. It's just we're just going through the motions. You may actually be a very hardworking person, but you just have no energy. You have no drive. You have no passion, and you'd not really have any kind of a desire or pursuit to press in and to do more for the kingdom of God, to do more really in your own life. And so as I started looking at that, I thought, that's a spirit that we see that's over this region. And as I said that, I said, I wonder if that's why the Cowboys have done so bad since they moved here. But the truth of the matter is, that's one. Now, there can be more than one, and I do think that there's more than one. I'm already seeing some other ideas as we've been, seeing some other things as we've been praying over this. But that's one that I said, I've got to defeat in my life. I can't let that be there, because that's not how I used to be. When I came here, the first thing I talked about when I became the pastor of this church is, we're going to be a praying church. And if it hair-lips the devil, we're going to be. But listen, I realized I'd given in to this slothful thing, you know? And the reason is because I was being attacked. I'll go more into that in a minute. I was being attacked. And I was not a slothful person or a lazy person. I was being attacked by a prevailing spirit over this region. And that's what, and so, I'm not even really sure where I'm at in my notes. But Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all. Would you say all? All the fiery darts of the wicked one. The problem is not that the enemy is attacking. Why are the enemy's attacks landing? The reason is because, well, basically, if you read this, none of his attacks should be landing. None of his fiery darts should be getting through. All the attacks, the enemy should fall short and not land and not hit their mark. Would you just say all again? All. So why are the enemy's attacks landing? Verse 18 and 19, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints and for me. The reason his attacks land is when we stop praying. So Paul said, pray always with all prayer. We need to pray always. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for our region. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for each other. And he even said, and for me. Paul said, pray for me. I want to put myself in good company as your pastor and say, pray for me as well. We need to pray, and we also need to call our nation back to God. I'm very concerned about the nation that we're going to be leaving our children. Many Christians, like I said, they're burying their heads in the sand. And we need to just stop that, and we need to start praying. I believe. I know this is true because the attacks continue to land. And the enemy is not going to sit back and just let our country be led back to God without a fight. So we don't need to be afraid of him. We just need to raise up our level of prayer. Now, I want you to see an encounter in Scripture that Daniel had, and I had you hold your place in Daniel. But I want to show you how these spirits can rule over areas again. And I want you to see this today. Demonic spirits governing that region where Daniel was in Persia. Daniel is praying and he's fasting for 21 days. And then this angel brings word to Daniel. And this is in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Said, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince, talking about principality, a demonic spirit over that region, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, that's an archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now, this is an amazing passage because it says Daniel was praying and this angel came to Daniel and said, from the first day you started praying, I came to bring the answer. I came to help you. But I was in a war for 21 days against a fallen angel, a prince of Palti, the prince of the kingdom of Persia. And he says, and if Michael, the archangel, had not come to help me, I'd still be fighting him now. But because you prayed, I was able to get through. Daniel didn't stop praying for 21 days. There was this battle going on that was unseen. But at the end of that time, Daniel prayed through and the answer came. Now look on down, verse 20. It says, then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scriptures of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. Now this tells me a couple of things. One, we can defeat these enemies, but when we do, there's going to be more. But the other thing that it tells me is we don't have to be afraid because no matter how many there are of them, there's more angels on our side. And even if we're dealing with fighting a prince of Palti, we do have the Prince of Peace. We have Jesus on our side. And so there's nothing to be afraid of. And that brings me to my second point. I've only got 2 points in this sermon today. The second thing is, yes, we're in a war, but the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. We have to pray, but the battle is the Lord's. Daniel had to pray, and he had to keep praying until the victory was won. And many people don't get this. They think, I prayed once, nothing happened, so I guess that doesn't work. God will fight on our behalf, and the victory is already a foregone conclusion. But we as believers still are called to partner with God in prayer. Let's look at one more example of this. This is Jesus, and I said if you wanted to, you can hold your place in Mark 5. Jesus is casting out demons out of a man that had been possessed. And I'm so familiar with the story that I actually played this character in a passion play down in Glen Rose many, many years ago. I played the demon-possessed guy. And I'm so familiar with this, and yet there's something about this story that I had never seen until I read it this week. But I want you to see this. I want you to see this today. Mark chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says, for he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion. This is the demon talking, for we are many. In other words, this guy was full of demons. And then verse 10, the demon also said, begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, I'd never really seen that part or let it stick out as it did this week. But the truth of the matter is the demons there begged Jesus not to send them out of that country. Or another translation says out of the region. The reason they didn't want to be sent out of the region is because they had a stronghold there. They had a principality there. They had rulers and powers there that were governing that area. And they didn't want to be sent out of that region because they had this stronghold there. These are territorial spirits around your life, around our church, around our city, and guess what? If you go somewhere else, they're going to be there too. This just might be a different one. But open your eyes to see. Open your eyes to see. Even in the Metroplex, you can almost tell sometimes. You know, if it's, I don't want to talk bad again about different areas because it sounds like I'm talking about the people, but I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the general sense of what you see in a demonic sense that might be influencing those areas. In Southlake, it might be pride. In Frisco, it might be greed. In Dallas, it's criminal greed. Here, one of the things that we're seeing is this slothful spirit. In Fort Worth, one of the things that Jennifer and I were talking about this, we see a fierce independence almost to the point of rebellion. Not almost, you know. And guess what? No matter where you go, there's going to be something that's going to be a fight. Hear me today. Open your eyes to see this. you have the capacity to overcome whatever it is. You have the raw power to do that. We are in a war, but the battle is the Lord's. How do we overcome? Pray, 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 and then start doing the opposite of what that spirit is influencing you to do. And so I said, okay, if slothfulness, this lack of drive, this lack of passion, this lack of momentum is what we're seeing here, then I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to call our church to pray. Are you going to pray? Now listen, if something's going off inside of you still, maybe it's first you need to humble yourself. But you've been probably been wondering, why in the world am I carrying this backpack through the whole service? Because here's what I want you to understand. Prayer, I grew up with this teaching on pray every day. And the teaching that I was under was called Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour? And it was a call to pray 1 hour a day. And it was great teaching. I'm thankful again for my heritage. I really am so thankful for it. Because it truly taught me how to pray and the importance of prayer. But it had become sort of a laborious thing. And if you weren't praying for 1 hour a day, there's something wrong with you. It's kind of the idea, kind of the underlying tone. And it almost became legalistic. And the thought of going back into that felt like a burden to me that I didn't want to add to my already burdened life. And the truth is I had been being attacked and I had so much coming at me over the last 6 months. The enemy was attacking me and I know it. Grief was in my life in a hard way. Unhealthy ways of coping with things I was struggling with. In addition to that, I had so many decisions going on in my family, immediate family, but because my parents passed away and leading up to that, both of them were so sick for so long that between me and my brother and sister, we were all having a hard time just trying to figure out how to take care of them. And then they passed away, and then it was hard, you know the decisions that go into that. Not to mention the continuing burden of the decisions of the church here. I had gotten to the place where I literally felt like I had what is called decision fatigue, where you have so many decisions that you have to make that it's paralyzing. You can't seem to make any decision. And the thought of adding another thing, such as prayer, was just overwhelming to me. In addition to that, I thought if I pray, I'm going to have to pray about these things, which means I'm going to have to think about them, and I don't want to think about them. So guess what? I avoided praying. And I kept carrying all this burden on me. Hear me today. This anxiety and this all the stuff that I was bound up in, I've looked at the answer as actually an addition to the problem. And so, the breakthrough that I really felt like I was getting, even as early as just last Friday, was that prayer, get this, you might want to write this down, this is tweetable. God didn't give us prayer to stress us out more. He gave us prayer to take stress off of us. Let me show you some scriptures on this. And I really want you to hear this because some of you have been hearing all this time, oh my Lord, pastor's calling us to pray and I've got so much already on my plate and blah, 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 blah. And I just don't know if I can do this. I'm so stressed out already. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. This says, don't be anxious. Don't be stressed out. Instead, pray. And I thought, what? That's a contradiction because prayer stresses me out. It's not meant to. Maybe I was doing it wrong. So let me make another statement. Anxiety is the opposite of prayer. That's what this is saying here. That's what that scripture just said. Anxiety. So if you're struggling with anxiety, with stress, with fear or worry in your life, you're not praying enough. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. This means take all the responsibility in your life and put it in someone else's hands. It's a transferring of a burden. It's saying, God, I'm going to take this burden that I've been carrying and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to cast it upon you. I'm going to lay this burden, Lord, at your feet. And here's what we do a lot of times. We say, Lord, this is the battle I've been facing. This is the thing I've been worrying about. This is the struggle I've had. This is the temptation that seems to be so unbearable. This is the pain I've been experiencing. This is the bitterness. This is the forgiveness. This is the shame. This is the battle. This is the whatever it is, the burdens that you've been carrying. Lord, I'm going to take it and I'm going to lay it right here at your feet, Lord. Now, Lord, it's right there. It's at your feet. I'm trusting you with it. I'm transferring my burden from my back to you. Lord, it's right there by your toes. Lord, don't you see? Okay, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you. In your timing, you're going to pick it up. Lord, in your timing, well, if you're just going to stand there. That's what a lot of us do. If you're just going to stand there, Lord, I'll just put it back on again. Listen, if you go into your prayer time and you come out, still carrying the burden of your anxiety or your fear, your worry or whatever. You didn't pray, you just griped and complained a little while. We need to lay it down at his feet. That's why I say the battle is the Lord's. It's a battle, it's a war that we're in. It's waged through prayer, and there's breakthrough in prayer. And Jesus taught us to pray, and we're going to look at how he taught us to pray, and then we're going to pray. But guess what? I'm not trying to put a burden on you for 50 days. I'm trying to help you get that burden lifted off of your life. That's what prayer does. That's what prayer does. And so we're going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm calling our leaders to pray. I'm calling you as a church. For the next 50 days, even if it's just 5 minutes, get a new identity and say, I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to start a habit, even if it's 5 minutes a day, I'm going to do it every day. Come to the church if you can at all, at any of those times. I'm going to be here. It may just be you and me at times. That might be weird. I may not know you, and you may be a good chance to get to know your pastor. But really, it's not to get to know me. It's to get closer to God, to get into his presence. And don't feel like when you come, you got to stay for the whole time. I'm going to be here an hour in the morning, an hour at noon, an hour at night, or in the evening. And I really don't want you to feel like you got to stay for the whole time. If you got to get going, it's fine. There may be times where I'm going to say, I got to go. I got somewhere to be, you know. But listen, set a habit. And our goal is 50 days starting today. Has this been okay? It's been good today. I want you to stand up. Father, we come before you. Lord, I don't want to just talk about it. I want to pray. Lord, we humble ourselves today, God. Say, forgive us. Lord, forgive us for neglecting to spend more time with you. Forgive us of complaining or griping without actually praying. Lord, forgive us for carrying things that we were never meant to carry. Realize that we have to cast these upon you. And Lord, what a privilege, what an honor to be able to come into your presence at all. Lord, that's why Jesus died. That's why he gave his life. That's why he spilled his blood. so that we could be family with you and be united with you again, Lord, and be able to come into your presence, be able to come before your throne of grace. And yet, so often we don't do it. God, forgive us. We humble ourselves. And today we pray. We seek your face. We determine that we're going to establish new disciplines in our life, and we're going to establish the discipline of prayer. We're going to seek your face. Lord, not to put stress or legalism on us, but Lord, because you want to take it off of us. And Lord, we ask you, strengthen us to turn from our wicked ways. And we ask you, Lord, to heal our land. In Jesus' name. Now, I want to ask you here this morning. Nobody's looking around. There may be some of you here today who say, I've got a burden I've been carrying for a long time, and I really need to just lay it down and trust this burden to God and not take it up again. How many of you in here say today, I've just been carrying some stuff that I need to let go? Come on, lift your hands all over the place. Father, you see the hands today. Lord, some of it is grief and sorrow. Lord, I pray healing. Some of it is pain of and unforgiveness and bitterness. Lord, I pray, Father, today, take that off of their hearts, their lives. Some of it, Lord, is just decisions in life that are so overwhelming to them. God, I pray, let them see that you want to be the decision maker in their life. They don't have to anymore. All they have to do is listen to you and obey. Lord, speak to them. Lord, whatever the burden is that they're carrying today, Lord, I pray that they will trust and leave that at your feet. Transfer the burden. And Lord, bring peace that passes understanding. Bring joy where there's been an absence of it. Strength. Direction, Lord. I'm just hearing this in my spirit. Some of you really do need that divine direction. Some of you, that when I said that it just seems like there's been a lot of disappointment, maybe it's because God has been trying to speak to you in prayer that you're going in the wrong direction, and he wants to put you on the right path that is actually going to lead to a greater level of blessing and peace and joy in your life. That's his kingdom. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want us to live in anxiety all the time, in worry all the time, in fear all the time, in disappointment all the time. He wants us to live an abundant life. Lord, I pray for that divine direction. And then I pray in the name of Jesus over this whole congregation and over this region against the spirit of slothfulness. Because God, when you come to give us direction, the enemy is going to try to keep us from actually pursuing it. Going to pour water on that fire, on that passion. Lord, we speak against that in the name of Jesus. That spirit of slothfulness broken in Jesus' name off of this church, off of this region. And Lord, I pray for renewed passion, renewed excitement, renewed purpose and drive to accomplish the things that you've called us to do, and only that which you've called us to do, oh God. Because in that way is grace. And we need your grace, oh God. We need your ability. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.